Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki, and as always, I'm joined by Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins. Hello.
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 Thank you for joining me.
And welcome to the news.
It did feel a bit newsy, didn't it?
Yeah.
This it always feels like a barbershop, barbershop
hello,
quartet
hello,
to me.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, Matt's got to do the theme one.
Good fun.
Oh, we do have fun, don't we?
So good. This is our second week back in the studio. Still getting used to it.
Yeah, I feel a bit out of place.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, who am I looking at? Where's the audience?
Yeah, I know. We have to look at each other again. Mm. Being side by side, we don't have to do that anymore.
I know. Now we sit in a fucking circle like idiots. I can see both your ugly mugs clear as day.
So we're plotting against each other. Yeah. Who will crack first? We'll kill you both.
I'm a little bit delirious because I worked today and then came here. So I'm going to lose it at some point. I'm just letting you know. Just warning you.
Okay. Appreciate that. Good. I'm well rested and I changed a light in my car today. Something I didn't think that I was capable of, but I did it.
Good job.
Watched a YouTube tutorial.
Where was the light?
The headlight.
Like the headlight. Like
one of the main ones.
Yeah.
I've been driving around for about 6 weeks with one.
That's really good.
If I got pulled over, I was always going to be like, what?
I'd say majority of people would get someone else to do that. And you are. You keep saying you're not even handy.
I'm definitely not.
But you did it.
Took a long time. The guy in the video wore gloves, so I put on the only gloves I could find, which were ones you used to wash the dishes with.
Yeah, great.
And I took them off after about 2 minutes because it was very difficult to use.
You should do a video of you watching that video following his instructions.
It's just me going, what? What? Did you know? Okay.
Like Gogglebox for YouTube.
Yeah.
In the UK, the main lamp
There's a main lamp in the UK?
In terms of headlights, is high beam.
Mm-hmm.
And the low lamp is the main beam. I was watching a UK video thinking, hang on, what? Because we call the very bright light the high beam. Anyway.
So what? They're just their normal light's a high beam. Is that what you mean?
No, their normal light is like a low light.
They call it low.
They call it low.
Right. We call it Parker.
Like your fog lights. Right?
Fog lights.
I don't think my car has those. I think my car just has a light.
Yeah, they're like, good luck to you if you're driving this in a box.
I've got a couple of torches taped to the front of my bonnet.
I've got like actual torches, like medieval. I got some flames.
You got some candle. It's being blown out as soon as you go above 5K an hour.
Yeah, that's why I'm always late.
Makes sense.
It's foggy out. Light the candle.
We said literally before we hit record, we're going to get into that. The subject.
I say it because I know I'm the worst at it.
So you want one of us to?
Yeah, and you're pretty good at. You're like, oi.
I try.
All right, oi.
But I'd say only one in six times.
Does it work? Well, you plug something and then I'm
going to be in Sydney this week. So, Sydney listeners, it would be so cool to see you there. This will be the last time I annoy you with plugs for the show because it's the last time I'm doing it. Sydney, this Saturday night, the whatever night that is, 19th, I think, 12th. It's the 12th of May at Giant Dwarf at 9:30. Tickets via mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. It'll be a lot of fun, I believe, and be great to see you there. Also, always a great opportunity to bug these guys to bring the show to Sydney if you want us to come back.
Do you want that to happen?
Which I bloody do.
Yeah, go and support Matt and maybe we'll do a show in Sydney again. Huh?
So the way, Dave, this is how the show works, right? One of the three of us does a report on a topic that's been suggested by a listener. One of the three of us know what that topic is, the person who's done the report. Mm-hmm. The other two do not know.
The other two of the three.
The other two of the three, in case you were wondering which two of which. And the person doing the report starts the report, gets us on topic by asking the other two a question. This week, Dave is doing a report. Dave, what is your question?
All right, here's my question. Patreon people voted for this topic. My question is, when it comes to serial killers... What is the scariest weapon they can use?
Oh, good stuff.
I guess it's like, I'd say...
Something blunt.
Yeah.
A spoon. Oh, yuck.
He was struck with a spoon 996 times.
That's a classic. That's a classic Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves line.
Mm.
He goes, I'll cut your heart out with a spoon. And his cousin or whatever is like, why a spoon? Use a knife. Because it's dull, it'll hurt more. Great line.
It'll also just be a lot more work for you.
A lot more work.
It'll take
Imagine
ages.
Trying to break skin with a spoon.
Oh.
Picturing a wooden spoon.
Obviously.
Oh, wow.
Obviously. The only spoon I use. Yeah. Stir my coffee with a wooden spoon.
I'm guessing a knife, machete, or a kitchen knife, butcher's
rope.
Knife. Ooh,
well,
rope.
You're getting closer.
Nunchucks.
No, getting closer with... That would take a few hits unless you're really
It wasn't
really
machete. Spear.
No,
nuclear bomb. Nuclear bomb.
Sharp. Guns.
It is sharp.
It's sharp. My wit.
Prepare to die.
Say something. Say something.
It's an axe.
No!
An axe
and my axe.
An axe murderer.
No. Oh. You know, I don't like this at all.
Is this about Mike Myers' movie? So yeah. I married an axe murderer. Yes.
It's a good movie. It's a fine movie. No, it's a good movie. Did you forget that existed?
He's talking about the size of the kid's head.
We've lost him.
Great. Okay. An axe murderer. You hear a lot about, you know, like axe murderer, say, like, you know, it's just a common trope for a murderer. But I've never really come across an axe murderer in real history.
I would call a creepy looking man an axe murderer.
Right.
Like, he looks like an axe murderer, you know? But I don't think I know of an actual axe murderer.
Do you know how many axe murders?
The only one that comes to mind to me is the wood chopper in Little Red Riding Hood kills the wolf with an axe.
Oh, yeah.
So is he not an axe murderer?
He is.
Wow.
He's
an heroic axe murderer.
More like an axe hunter. I think if you're killing an animal, I think you can call yourself a hunter.
Okay.
Like, I don't think butchers or people who...
They're fucking murderers, mate.
Oh, I agree. As a vegetarian, I agree.
Even after...
Meat is murder.
So even at the butchers when the meat is well and truly dead.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. Every cut is still...
What does he think that cow was born dead, does he? He knows.
Does he think that cut's going to bring it back to life, does he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you're a butcher, get in touch. Tell us what you think.
No, this is about an axe murderer. This topic is called, and I put it up for the vote with a few other pretty sensational sort of sounding topics, but of course this one got picked. The Axeman of New Orleans.
For some reason I thought you were doing a general report on
axe
the
murderers.
Idea of axe murdering.
No, no, I was just using that question because I knew you wouldn't have probably heard. You probably haven't heard of this Axeman, I imagine.
Axeman.
I hadn't.
No.
Axe is...
Dimebag Darrell's the most famous Axeman I know.
It's just such
He also died, so it's not
with
not too good for the Axeman.
Yeah. Moment of silence for dying.
And we're back. Okay, so the Axeman of New Orleans. You haven't heard of this topic? I hadn't. It was one of those ones that jumped out at me in the hat amongst the thousands of suggestions.
I've never noticed it.
Because it sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And it does not disappoint. Okay. 1918. Let me take you back to New Orleans. New Orleans. I know Americans often call it New Orleans, but we usually say New Orleans.
NOLA, right?
It doesn't make us right.
I know, but what should I pick one and go with it?
Yeah, I can go
just
with
it. Commit.
Go with your heart.
Whatever you feel New comfortable. Orleans. Okay. So okay. People in Rome don't call it Rome.
They call it Rom.
They call it Paris.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
It is confusing. Okay, they're like, when in Paris? And it's like, what? The rest of us say, when in Rome? They go, what's Rome? It's very confusing. Italians.
Okay, 1918, New Orleans, the Big Easy, the birthplace of jazz, home of Mardi Gras, often referred to as the most unique city in the United States. Well, this unique city was about to be terrified by a very unique serial killer.
God, you are just so good at this. This is what happens when you put time into the reports. I don't
time
do
and
that.
Passion.
Time and passion.
Is this our second New Orleans report? Was your witch? Oh, no. No, not witch.
She was a voodoo queen.
Voodoo queen of
New
Orleans.
Yes. Yeah. The voodoo queen of New Orleans. Or New Orleans. New Orleans sounded better.
For that one, yes. Yeah.
But this one went New Orleans. Now, to truly set the scene for this murderer, we have to go back a few years earlier to 1910, where there was a spate of attacks on Italian grocers.
Approximately 8 years earlier. Math.
That's correct. So New Orleans Italian grocers were being attacked.
Wow. They were from Rome.
Originally, most of them Sicilian,
because they're very French. Not Rome. It's quite a French.
Yes, the French Quarter is there, but out of all the cities in the south of the US at the time, that had the biggest Italian population, most of them Sicilian. According to Miriam Davis in her book *Axeman of New Orleans: The True Story*, so you know it's true.
She could be sued if her book wasn't true, if you named it that. So she's confident.
She put it on the line.
I like that.
On August 3rd, 1910, Harriet Crutey awoke from her sleep to a man standing over her brandishing a meat cleaver and demanding money. And if she didn't give it to him, he would, quote, do to you what I just did to your husband. So at that point...
It would have been like this, I do it to you what I did it to your husband.
Matt's speaking with his hands.
My nana is Italian, so...
So you can do that.
Maybe just call her Nonna.
Nonna.
Just to be safe.
Okay.
So cultured.
Nota bene.
I do it to you.
Well, just because the victims are Italian doesn't mean the attacker is Italian.
Oh.
May just be a big fat racist.
Oh.
Let's not discount that theory.
Are they definitely fat, though?
Yes. Now, we'll get to that. Now, the meat cleaver said, I'll do to you what I just did to your husband.
It was the meat cleaver said it.
Yeah.
No, I'll do to your husband.
It was a puppet show. The sidekick.
No. She was like, I dropped some acid last night. This is fucking weird.
Murder, like, I really don't want to be doing this. Well, it's too bad. You will do it.
Oh, you better do what he says. I can't control him when he's like this. No. So basically, he's threatened her, saying, I'll do to you what I just did to your husband. It was at that point, because she'd been asleep up until now, she looked over and saw her husband covered in blood, thinking he was dead. So she panics, returned to her bed and handed over the then sizable sum of $8. But this wasn't enough for the attacker, who demanded more. His puppet show was worth more than $8.
Fair. You know what? When you're an artist, the hardest thing is knowing the worth of your art. And like, you know, not just taking free gigs. Like, no, I work hard. I deserve to be paid.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, I've got a free beer. Would that be enough?
It's like, make it two.
Make it two and I'll be happy.
And a $4 pizza. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is this a particular gig you've got to beef with?
I don't know.
This $8 wasn't enough for the attacker, who demanded more cash. Harriet, however, lied and said that was all she had, even though she had heaps more stuffed under her mattress.
Yeah, bitch. Badass. Yes.
Yes.
My life is worth a lot more than that.
Yes, queen. Yes, she gets it.
And the attacker fled after this. On his way out, the attacker grabbed the family's pet mockingbird's cage, took the cage outside, threw the cleaver in the yard, put his shoes back on. After all, he didn't want to bring mud into the carpet.
Oh, he's polite.
Then he freed the bird from the cage, rolled a cigarette, and smoked it on the back porch before leaving.
Okay, that's odd. Also, I like that she had $8 stashed in case
smart.
Of robbing.
Two.
That's smart.
That's why you have two bank accounts, your main one and the one you want to get robbed. Your rob account.
Decoy
the one
rob
you
account.
Want to get kept. So you can allocate which one is to be robbed.
Unfortunately, I did label it rob this one. So.
And don't rob this one. It has a lot more in it in the other one.
Yeah.
It's too, okay, little, I guess obvious. That's very clear.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I'm better targeting that one.
So this, when what, this, did you say 1800s?
1910.
So this is pre-DNA, pre-fingerprints probably. So he's happy to just throw the...
There is early fingerprinting, but they don't use it. It's so early on, they don't use it in any of these cases.
Yeah, because
it's not much.
What a great time to be a criminal. You just throw the weapon into the yard.
It's really the golden age of serial killing.
Yeah.
Yeah, now with all the bloody...
Imagine drop how a hard it is.
If you were
something.
Like someone with compulsions to kill, you'd be now, you'd be like, damn it.
Yeah, it would really suck, wouldn't it?
It would really suck.
Living in this day and age with a compulsion to kill, no good.
That'd obviously be the one this, downside.
Yeah. Obviously, that's a pretty crazy story about this meat cleaver guy. Some historians debate that it may have been exaggerated, this one. But what is definitely true is that both Harriet and her husband survived.
Right. So was that blood?
Or had he been eating a pie in bed again? Because I swear to God, George, if you fucking get more crumbs in this bed.
That's a saucy pizza.
He's covered so he looks like he's covered in blood.
And he's fallen asleep because he's full.
I was thinking for a second that this murderer was so, or this thief was so genius that he
poured blood on
made him look. Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought.
So I'm
fake
like, that
blood.
Is so smart.
No, he chopped the shit out of him. He just didn't chop him enough.
Right.
That's disappointing.
So smart.
So smart.
Why didn't they just pour fake blood on him? Duh.
Yeah, if he's, I mean, he's a meat cleaver, you think he's the butcher or her. Women can be mass murderers too.
Thank you. Yas, queen. Maybe it was Harriet. All along.
See, that's always someone in the, you know, someone close.
It is always
often someone close, isn't it?
I mean, you guys are probably the people I see most frequently.
Well, I don't know.
Shout out to your family.
Is that a threat or a...
No, I'm just a little concerned now.
Oh, okay. Me too.
Yeah, you always get killed by one of your podcast co-hosts. I've heard that.
There's an old adage.
So many statistics.
From 1910. Mm. The attacks continued, and although they were vicious, none were fatal until 1911 when grocer Joe Davies' body was found.
He wasn't just gross.
He was grosser. Showing injuries that appeared to have been inflicted by a meat cleaver. His body was fucked up and his brains were literally beaten out of his skull.
Ew, oh. Dave. I don't know why I'm mad at you, but I am.
Yeah, don't say fucked up.
Sorry. His brains were effed up and his...
Thank you.
Brains were literally beaten out of his skull.
Oh, that's the bit I don't like. Change that bit for me and the other bit for Matt.
His body was effed up and his brains remained inside his skull.
Thank you.
Probably don't even have to make a note of that. You would have assumed it. I assume you would have assumed, but I'm thorough.
You know, so assuming makes an ass out of you and me.
Yes. Now, what connected these murders
to... I think assuming makes an ass out of you and Ming.
When I was growing up, we had a dog called Ming.
Well, that's who we're talking about here.
You're going to make an ass out of me and Ming.
Yep. I'll do it. What connected these attacks together were both the types of victims, Italian grocers, and the fact that the attacks used meat cleavers and the weapons had been found in the people's own house. So this guy wasn't BYO meat cleaver.
Right.
He broke in. Went to your kitchen, grabbed your meat cleaver, and then attacked you.
I don't have a meat cleaver.
Yeah. He would have left.
As a vegetarian, I guess you wouldn't.
I don't need
it. You don't cleave much meat.
I've got knives, but they're for chopping veggies.
Yeah, no.
That's a classic thing in some horror movies, some scary movies. Maybe I'm just thinking of Scream. But, you know, they'd show a shot of the kitchen, there'd be knives on display. Later in the movie, or not long later, they'd show it again, and there'd be clearly one of them missing.
Yeah.
Like there's a little sign that says... Put sixth knife here.
Yeah, or it's like dusty, so it's left. It's a little really obvious.
But they haven't used that knife in a while. Hope they wash it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get cross contamination.
Dust infection.
Ugh.
Nothing worse.
Some people are allergic to it.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
Imagine. Imagine if that's what killed you. Oh, you survived the stabbing, but the dust infection got you.
You didn't get dust in me, did you?
Oh, I'm death. I need my EpiPen.
Down I go.
Goodbye, cruel world. Paul! Paul!
I wasn't mad until I saw the dust.
That's that, you know, the sometimes people kill themselves. What am I going here?
With dust.
With sitting in the car running the pipe from your exhaust in your car.
Sure.
But these people would do it from their vacuum cleaner, run it on reverse.
Well, like hook it up to a snorkel.
That's so fucking stupid. And I love it. I love where your brain goes. People killing themselves with a vacuum cleaner. Jeez Louise.
What a way to go. I say it's painless.
Just imagining them testing it on a bowling ball. You know, in vacuum cleaner ads, they're always like, look, it can pick up a bowling ball. Look, it can suffocate this bowling ball. That's the fucking dumbest thing.
Somehow you made it dumber.
I know, I'm sorry. I see something and I think I'm just going to add some dumbness here. All right, so this first actual killing led the murderer to be referred to as the Cleaver.
Ooh, ooh. I like that. But then hello, I'm the Cleaver. Where is this?
New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Now do your voice.
Yeah, do it again.
Hello, I'm the Cleaver.
Hello, I'm an expat cleaner.
Expat cleaner?
Oh, he's giving away some more of the story. Spoiler.
Suddenly, the Cleaver's attack stopped. The Cleaver seemed to have given up. The Cleaver referred to themselves in the third person.
I'm giving up. I've had enough.
I've had enough.
All right.
All right. I also spent some time down under. Picked up a couple of their phrases. Oh, the dingo's got me fucking, baby.
G'day. It's like aloha. You can use it at the start and the end. All right, g'day.
Aloha.
I'm off, g'day.
What is wrong with us?
Okay, so the attack stopped. This is the preamble, by the way. This is the little intro to suck people in.
Yeah, isn't this about an axe murderer?
So the attack stopped. But thankfully for this report, the attacks again started 6 years later, ooh, December 1917.
I'm back, baby!
That's a fair gap.
Six-year gap.
If you're saying it's the same killer.
All four members of the Andalina family were attacked in their home by an unknown assailant brandishing a small hatchet.
That's a type of axe.
Small axe, here we go. All
and right, also a terrible in. Book that I read in year seven. Had to study. The hatchet? Or hatchet? One of the two. It was real shit.
It's also what chickens do.
You're going to take a little time out over there, Matt?
Yeah.
You just look like you're about to give yourself one.
So you just jumped in.
Yeah.
Time out.
Let me put you out of your misery.
I was trying to do the Dave thing and make it something dumber, but I overcooked it.
Much like a chicken.
Much like a chicken.
Oh, no. All four members of the Andalina family survived, and at the time it wasn't clearly linked to the Cleaver attack earlier in the decade. In hindsight, though, we now know that the killer was back.
Bum, bum, bah.
On May 22nd, 1918, a few months later, Joseph Maggio and his wife Catherine were sound asleep above their grocery shop.
He's attacking Italians.
They were Italian and grocers. So Italian grocers.
Oh, he's got a weird vendetta against grocers and Italians.
Or is he an Italian grocer taking out competition?
The competition.
Good early theories like this. A man broke
mole
into their
people.
Home. I was going to ask you for your theories later on. I assumed it was going there. I'm glad we've gone early. Mole people.
Always.
So a man broke into the home while they were sleeping, and not just any man. This was an axe man.
Mini, 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 meow.
Yeah. Wake up, people!
Rips a sick guitar solo.
Doing
and
a
leaves.
Lot of devil horns with his fingers.
Yeah, and they were all like, "This is awesome." I was tired, but this is awoken me.
Oh, he gained entry into their house by chiseling off one of the panels of their back door and crawling through.
Holy shit!
He really wants this.
Walked into their bedroom. He first sliced the couple's throat with a straight razor.
He's got the need to cleave.
Whilst they slept. Ask me what I've got the need for. What have you got the need for? The need to cleave. Schwing. Cut their throat.
Why do you get a boner?
Schwing.
Schwing, schwing. Then he, just to make sure that he was doing it properly, after he cut their throats, he bashed their heads in with their own axe.
Oh my God.
Okay, so they had an axe.
Yeah.
Presumably somewhere around the house.
Yeah.
They didn't have a garden shed.
No, I was just lying around.
They just had an axe lying around.
The lesson
around.
Here is pick up after yourselves, people.
Yeah,
you live
kids.
In filth, you'll die in your own filth. Filth being an axe. Now, sleeping in the room next door was Joseph's brothers, Jake and Andrew, who were awoken by the throat-cutting kerfuffle. Joseph...
They heard the boner.
I don't know if that can be counted as a kerfuffle. Double murder.
It's a kerfuffle.
Okay, okay.
Is it a double murder? Joseph initially survived.
Initially.
But quickly died after his brothers discovered him. By which point, Catherine was already dead.
So yes,
murder.
It's a murder.
Her throat having been cut so deep that her head was nearly severed from her shoulders.
Okay, all right.
So yes, Matt, it is a double murder. The people want blood.
True, but I also would have liked to sleep tonight.
I actually had a nightmare last night. Not kidding.
Based on the recording.
I think it was from this.
I really want to tell you about the dream I had last night.
Okay, was it about the Axeman?
No. Can I tell you real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
So last night I had my alarm set for 9 o'clock this morning and I...
Me too!
Oh my God.
Oh my God, this is terrifying.
And I had a dream that I woke up at like 12 and I had to be at work before 1. So I was like, oh no. But then I actually woke up from that dream, checked my phone, it was 8:15, I was fine. I went back to sleep, had the same dream again, except this time in my dream, my boyfriend had... I had slept through the alarm and he'd woken up and turned it off and gone back to sleep. And I woke up at like 12:30. Right. And anyway, so then I actually wake up from the dream and now I have no idea what the fuck's happening. I don't know if I'm awake or not. The alarm's gone off. I'm awake. And I told Aiden the dream and then he said he had a dream in which he'd heard about this TV show that had won 12 Emmys and it was entirely in Morse code.
Daytime Emmys or regular Emmys?
I don't know. Regular, let's say. I love that that's your question.
Well, that's pretty good.
But he was like, he'd heard about this show in his dream. He's like, I gotta check that out. Morse code.
Beep, beep, beep,
his
beep,
dream
beep.
Beat my double dream. I thought it was cool that I had a double dream.
No, double dream's pretty, like it.
Yeah, Same thing.
I think your dream won.
Isn't that crazy? But in the second dream, I was aware of the first dream. And then when I actually woke up, I was like, I don't know what fucking year it is.
Feels like an annoying TV show.
My dream was about an axe murderer. So let's talk about him now.
Sorry for derailing. Just wanted to share.
No, it's fine. The only calling card left behind by the killer was the bloodied axe. Police ruled out robbery as a motivation for the attacks, as money and valuables left in plain sight were not stolen by the intruder. It was all very mysterious and chilling. Police made the connection with the murder of the Maggio couple with the previous spate of Italian grocer attacks 6 years earlier that I talked about at the start of the episode, because... In addition to the similarities in victim, using a weapon in the home and the method of entry, one clue that seemed to suggest a possible connection was they found outside, possibly a second calling card, I may have lied about that, because there was a message found in chalk near the scene of the crime that said, quote, Mrs. Maggio will sit up tonight just like Mrs. Tony. The last victim of the previous spree of attacks was found to have been a man by the name of Tony Schiambria. Tony and his wife had been attacked in bed also. Perhaps she was the Mrs. Tony.
Mrs. Tony.
She was talking about.
Well, she had firstly her own first name, and that's her husband's first name.
Oh, please, my wife is Mrs. Tony.
You can call me Tony.
Okay. Don't know why I called you Mrs. Tony, but all right.
Hi, I'm Tony. This is my wife, Mrs. Tony. I don't know.
So they made this, they did make a connection, and police were now praying that this was not the beginning of another murder spree. Spoiler alert, it definitely was.
Thank you so much for putting in spoiler alert there, so I had the chance to skip forward 15 seconds and go.
We've got another killing here. Louis Bessemer and his mistress, saucy, Harriet Lowe, were discovered in the back of his grocery.
Another Harriet.
Yes.
Interesting. Interesting.
This is true.
Lewis and Harriet.
He's not married, just his mistress.
That's okay, apparently. Dave. Let's not shame people.
I'm not shaming them, but that was quite scandalous in 1918 New Orleans. So A baker named John Zanker was making his morning deliveries to all the different groceries.
He should have been a banker, not a baker.
Mm.
No. Banker Zanker.
You got one wrong.
Idiot.
You just couldn't quite hear the careers counsellor. Sorry, what was that?
A banker.
Baker.
All right. I'm really good with numbers and terrible at bread, but okay.
Also got very bad hearing.
Help me.
No one answered the front door when he knocked, so he went out the back and Lewis himself came to the door, covered in blood, and claimed to have been attacked. His mistress, Harriet Lowe, had also been assaulted by an axe-wielding man who had first struck Bessemer Lewis in the right temple, leaving him with a skull fracture,
ooh,
and then slashed his lover over her left ear.
Oof.
She was unconscious.
Oof.
The axe, which had belonged to Lewis himself, was found in the bathroom of the apartment. The intruder had gotten in the same way, chiseling out a panel of the back door.
And crawling in like a little dog.
Crawling in, yeah.
Like a little, he's made a cat flap.
He's made a small cat fly.
He scrawls on in.
Meow. Lewis survived the attack and Harriet would hang on for 7 weeks before dying of her injuries. She used her final weeks, according to this is Mysterious Universe, to make, which is a cool website, to make, quote, increasingly rather bizarre and contradictory statements to police about who she thought the attacker was, end quote. First saying it was a black man, then a white man. Because she said initially that it was a black man, they arrested Lewis Ubican, who was a black guy who had just started working at the grocery store. Harriet then changed her story and said it was actually her lover, Lewis, another Lewis, who had attacked her.
Oh.
The guy that had a fractured skull. She was like, no, he was the axe guy, and accused him of being a German spy.
Okay.
So she's just sort of pointing fingers, describing, you know, varying descriptions of who the attacker is. This caused a media storm because of the vicious nature of the crime, the fact that it was the second attack by this possible serial killer. It was between two unmarried lovers, so a bit of a scandal there, one of whom might now be a German spy. So the media are lapping.
And this is World War One now, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yes, the year was 1941. 18. Okay, I fucked it up.
It's not World War One.
1918, yes it is.
1918?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying 18. Oh my God, I'm so confused. Okay.
Yeah, this is 1918.
That is World War One. Can confirm.
Can confirm. Right. The grocery store worker, Lewis Ubican, that Harriet originally fingered, went to trial but was found not guilty. I enjoyed writing that. He was found not guilty, mainly because her husband, who'd also been attacked, was kept saying, it's not our worker, it wasn't our worker. She just said it was me too, and I'm not a German spy. So Harriet eventually passed on after pointing the finger at many different people. After fingering
many
people.
She also had quite a head injury.
Yeah.
And nobody thought, maybe cognitively, something's not, yeah.
You are.
But we'll come back to them later in the show.
Oh my God, yay!
About a month later, on August 5th, the Axeman struck again. Eerily, it was the same day that the aforementioned Harriet Lowe succumbed to her injuries.
Oh.
So the day she passed on, he struck again. On the night of August 5th, as I said, 28-year-old, 8-month pregnant Anna Schneider awoke to a dark figure standing over her. He then repeatedly bashed in her face with what was later speculated to be a lamp. Their axe was also missing from the back shed. Her husband returned later than usual that night to find his wife covered in blood. But thankfully, she survived and gave birth to a healthy girl just 2 days after the attack.
Fuck.
Did you say she was pregnant before?
Yeah, 8 months pregnant.
8 months, very pregnant.
Oh, my God. I would have been writing that a lot harder if...
Yeah, I looked at you like, oh, he's gonna be very upset
that's
here.
That's why I got to it quite...
What is this a surprise birth? Do they know?
Ta-da!
I tried to get to it quite quickly to put you at ease.
I appreciate that.
No need.
No need.
Apparently, because he wasn't paying attention.
Mrs. Schneider, the one that had given
me. Mrs. Schneider.
And their axe was missing. Mrs. Schneider, your axe is missing.
Look, I'm just reading it as I see it, which is incorrectly. Mrs. Schneider, couldn't recall I'm Rob Schneider. De-derp, 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 de-derp. Do you know that episode of South Park?
Yeah.
Fucking great one.
Rob
anyway.
Schneider is a stapler.
Rob Schneider is a carrot, rated PG-13. Anyway, Mrs. Schneider couldn't recall, this is the one that's given birth, couldn't recall much of the attack, but claimed that she had been attacked by a dark figure that resembled some sort of phantom.
Oh.
The phantom of the opera is
here. Wait, what does phantom mean? I just thought, because the phantom's the guy in the purple.
Yeah, the
ghost
that
walks. And
the
phantom of the opera wears a suit.
And a mask.
Does it just mean they're a ghost?
Wearing a mask.
Yeah, it's just another word
ghost
for ghost.
Ghost and a mask. Phantom.
Here we go.
Phantom Menace? What does that mean?
The Ghost of Menace.
Wow.
No, the Ghost Menace. I put "of" in there. The Phantom of Menace. Phantom. Noun. A ghost. A figment of the imagination. Not real. Oh, okay. So that's
so
actually...
So she resembled...
Something not
real.
Real.
Okay.
All right. Is her name Harriet as well? Honestly, no. What's she? Mrs. Schneider.
She's Mrs. Schneider. Harriet Schneider. No. It was at this point the lead investigators began to publicly speculate that the attack was related to the previous incidents involving Bessemer and Maggio.
Bessemer.
Yes, the city had a serial killer on its hands.
On its hands. Oh, my God. I mean,
it's only been successful in one out of the three attacks, but still serial killer.
You know any time on the news they're like, oh, somebody's, you know, wielding a knife in, and they name a suburb in Melbourne? I'm like, oh, God. No. That's terrifying.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
But they're
this
like,
is crazy.
Okay, Melbourne. There's an axe murderer loose. Okay. Thank you.
Well, Jess, this next sentence is not going to make you feel any better. Oh. The Axeman's thirst for blood was Quilly. Damn it.
Was he right? Does this make you feel worse?
Yeah, I'm shitting
Jess
myself.
I'm terrified. Stop.
Please, Dave, you're killing me.
Was clearly not quenched by the attack on Anna Schneider.
Queerly.
Because just 5 days later, he struck again.
Oh,
imagine
no.
How chilling that would have been if I didn't fuck it. You would have been chilled to the core, Matt.
Yeah.
I'd give you time. This would be like 5 minutes of thawing out time.
That's
Matt's
it is.
Already
I'm lukewarm.
Yeah.
No, fuck. It's like a tepid soup.
That's not what you want to be tepid.
No.
What do you
that.
Want to be tepid?
Hug.
You want a tepid hug? Yeah. I don't want a hot hug. That's weird.
Yeah, exactly. Think about that.
Warm is nice.
Warm hug's nice, Dave.
Tepid pool water.
Oh, yeah, good one.
If it, yeah.
If it's not
if it's
that
supposed
hot.
To be, or if there's just been some kids in it, that's not good.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Wait, what does tepid mean?
It means a ghost, okay? Stop making me Google words.
Because it's somewhere between. I thought it was
like
a
lukewarm.
Room temperature-ish.
Yeah.
Is it?
So your own blood?
All right, new show idea. Someone picks a word from the dictionary and the others have to try and guess what they think it means.
Oh, love it.
Balderdash.
I'm just Googling it. Last thing I Googled was, how do you know you have a tapeworm? So that's good.
Wow, do you reckon you've got
tepid.
One?
I don't know. My stomach hasn't been great
that's
for
why I was playing that
weeks.
Tapeworm song by System of a Down when you walked in before.
Oh, I had no, I thought you were... I didn't know what you were doing.
Tepid. Only slightly warm. Lukewarm.
Yeah, there right. You go, Matt.
So you are tepid.
Sure am,
fuck,
baby.
Fuck, that wasn't worth it. Sorry. Dave, do go on.
All right, here we go. So... he struck again. The quench was not thirst. Other way round. You know what I mean.
Jesus.
Pauline and Mary Bruno, two sisters living with their 8-year-old uncle Joseph, awoke when they heard the sound of scuffling coming from their uncle's bedroom.
Scuffling.
Ooh. They ran in and claimed to have seen Joseph being attacked by a tall, dark, heavy-set figure in a dark suit who was wearing a slouch hat.
Oh,
fat
yeah.
Racist.
Mm. The attacker ran when one of the girls screamed out. The sisters would later emphasize that despite the man's size, the intruder had been, quote, awfully light on his feet.
A dancer.
Oh, I like that good. Theory.
Or maybe it's someone who's wearing clothes to look heavy set when they're not.
Oh, fat suit. Definitely.
Big Mama's house.
Yes.
Or it could be like a 1980s AFL footballer. There were a lot of big units there
but
who
quite
were very
quick.
Athletic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony Plugger Lockett.
Yeah, I think you're really making generalizations if you assume that all people who are maybe a bit more heavy set are going to walk around like, doom, doom.
Yeah.
Like, that's silly.
That's ridiculous,
well,
Dave.
Take that up with Pauline and Mary Bruno, who yeah. have no doubt dead by now.
Yeah. But also, some people just walk really heavy on their heels, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how big you are. You just, like, if you have to live with them, you're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Dave, stop fat shaming is the moral of that story. Yeah,
I think they're mainly trying to imply that he's some sort of phantom. See the word ghost.
See the word tepid.
See tepid. Page 161 of the Concise Oxford Dictionary.
I think we should do that as a bonus episode of where we choose a word. I think that'd be
that's
very fun.
Okay, we can do that. Choose a word each and the other two have to.
Maybe we'd have to come in with a few words probably.
Yeah, I'm not riffing for like 10 minutes a word.
Let's get some suggested words.
Ah, very good.
Ones that you, I mean, I was going to say weird words, but we couldn't even decipher the word phantom or tepid. So any word. Teacup, what is it? mean?
It's a cup for tea, Dave.
Ooh, I don't know. I'm going to Google that.
Your little face, though, was so cute just then.
What does that mean?
What does it mean? What is it?
Teacup. Definition. Doesn't even come up with a definition. That's how obvious it is.
Teacup. It's when you're zhuzhing up a room, adding more teak.
You teak it up. I love it. Teacup.
Took way too long to get there, Bob. Sorry about that. Thank you for jumping in.
Jess, you're not right, but you're not wrong.
How?
A cup from which tea is drunk.
Yep.
All right, you are right. You're just not wrong.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long-form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It would be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
The attacker ran away, awfully lard on his feet, despite being
lard
heavy...
on his feet. Did you say lard on his feet, Dave? Please stop.
The attacker floated away through the wall.
He heard someone yell out "free buffet" and ran to the window.
All you can eat.
I'm a fatty boy. I've got to go. Bye bye.
You're doing the opposite of what I requested.
I'm a fatty boy.
He's such a fat man. Probably couldn't drive. He's too fat to get in the car.
Cars also, invented that?
Also, pretty early for cars.
I think they were early.
Yeah, they were around.
Late 1800s, yeah. But he probably
not everyone had one.
Not every axe murderer had a car back then.
Uncle Joe. Remember Uncle Joe? 80 years old. Yes. He'd been hit on the head and received two large cuts. He managed to walk to the ambulance.
Pay cuts.
He managed to walk to the ambulance once it arrived, yet he died 2 days later due to severe head trauma.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Getting hit... struck twice, you're conscious to the ambulance and then...
Do you know what? If I'm calling an ambulance, I don't care what it's for. They can come get me. Like, you know, I pay my ambulance membership.
I've got to check that.
Put me in the...
Yeah, you really do.
Put me on the trolley thing and wheel me out. Okay? You're trained to do it. I'm not walking.
Trolley thing. Another one. We don't know the word.
Gurney?
Yeah. I was thinking it.
I will call it a trolley thing because I pay my membership. I pay their wages. I love it when people say that. That's good. I pay
especially
your wages.
Especially now that you work for the ABC.
Yeah. And the taxpayers pay my wages. Thank you, that's Australian true. Taxpayers.
I want to get my 8 cents worth, Jess.
Well, tune in, Triple J.
So Uncle Joe, he's gone. I'm so sorry. He died. Joe. But when police arrived, they discovered that the back door had again been chiseled in and a bloody axe was found in the backyard.
Does he ever just try the lock? You know?
He probably tries that first.
Ah, I'd hope so. Or he just likes chiseling.
Who doesn't love a good chisel?
I love it.
People were very scared now. It seemed like the Axeman could strike at any time, able to gain access and disappear at will. There was now a state of extreme chaos in the city, with residents living in constant fear of an Axeman attack. Newspapers started to refer to the attacker at this point as the Axeman, and this did nothing to quell people's fears. If anything, it made him seem even more terrifying. People began to make numerous reports about missing axes, reports of shadowy figures lurking in the darkness, and even some finding their doors chiseled open.
Wow.
So people are like...
The first few, you could be like, you misplaced the axe. That figure was a shadow. That shadow figure was a shadow.
Mm.
That door...
The chiseled door, that one's harder.
Yeah.
That door always had a missing panel.
An angry bear, hello.
Hello.
You've got food in there.
Yeah.
Bear's hungry.
Okay.
Leave food out for a bear, you idiot.
Yeah, leave it out.
Are you kidding?
Don't leave it in.
How stupid are you?
At nightfall, people began to barricade themselves in their own homes because now there's an Axeman and bears on the loose. It's very dangerous out there. It's
a terrible time.
Armed men started keeping watch over their families and their neighbourhoods. More police were deployed to patrol the streets. In short, the city was fucking terrified.
Yeah.
Imagine if it happened now. You'd be fucking... I'd be so scared. I'd be scared. Would you... Matt wouldn't be scared.
What?
He gave me nothing. Everyone has CCTV now.
Yeah, no, it sounds awful.
So we've got vision of you being smashed in the face with an axe.
Yeah, but then we got the guy who did it.
Oh, true. But what if it's a phantom ghost?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That'd show up come on
not on CCTV. Certainly not.
Oh, on September 13, just over a month
floating
after...
Floating cloaks.
What's that?
What's that? That's just a floating trench coat.
I can't identify that.
Just over a month after the killing of Uncle Joe, a man named Paul Durrell Jr., went to open his corner store when he found a panel from the store's door removed. Outside, police later found footprints on the fence surrounding the yard. They suspected that the Axeman had attempted to get into their house. Durrell and his family survived, sleeping soundly throughout the night. The intruder had been able to get the panel off the door, but he could not stick his hand through to open it from the inside. That's because Durrell had stacked cans of tomatoes in front of the door, and those cans of tomatoes may have just saved their lives.
I mean, Daryl's really leaning into the Italian stereotype.
just a delivery.
I'll put a can of tomatoes in the front.
What do you want of these tomatoes? I'll chuck them in front of the door. Which door? The back of the door. I'll pay you later.
Dave?
I'm doing an Australian.
What nationality is your nonna?
Right. Nick Giannopoulos.
You didn't know, that's not a nationality. That's a Greek Australian comedian.
Oh, he's Greek. Sorry, Nick.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Nick. Not sorry to the Italians. Just put him in front of the door. I'll pay you later.
Pay
you
later. Fuck. Put him in front of the door.
Huh? Stop. He's already called you on it. Stop doing it.
Is that not okay?
It does seem to be still the one.
Yeah.
Maybe that in French that people get away with.
No, we wouldn't be leaning into this if this was set in China.
Well, I beg to differ. I think it would sound a little something like this. Imagine, fuck. The Axeman seemed to lie low for several months. People began to hope and pray that the Axeman's reign of terror was finally over. But it was not. In fact, on March 10th, 1919, he stepped up the brutality.
Yay!
Oh, no. Matt's not going to lie this. Attacking Rose and her husband, Charles Cordomiglia, as well as their infant daughter, Mary.
Aww.
Charles and Rose both suffered skull fractures but survived. Sadly, baby Mary did not.
I mean, I don't like that either.
They're starting to sound a bit fucked.
Yeah, do you reckon?
just getting fucked now. Severely injured family were found when their neighbour and fellow grocer, Iolando Giordano, came to investigate the noise. Again, the back door had been chiselled off and the axe that was used in the attack belonged to the family. It was found covered in blood, just casually sitting on the back porch. After she recovered, Rose told police that she and the family had been attacked by Iolando, the neighbour that had come to their rescue. She told them that Iolando and his son Frank had committed the attack together. Despite the fact that her husband said this wasn't true and that Iolando was a 69-year-old and in poor health man who was not able to brutally swing an axe and that his son Frank was overweight and way too fat to have squeezed through the hole in the back door.
How are people just like
like trying to settle scores or something?
Yeah. And the police arrested them anyway.
Right.
Despite people are just fingering anyone.
There's a lot of people getting fingered.
Despite the lack of evidence against them, the fact that they couldn't even do it, and the husband was saying, my wife's lying. Iolanda was sentenced to life in prison, and his fat son Frank was sentenced to death.
Oh, my God.
What? They were in jail a year before Rose admitted that she was lying and had accused them of the attack because they had competed with her own business.
Okay.
Settling
yep.
a score.
Holy Whoa. Shit.
How dodgy is that?
That's not okay.
It took her a whole year to be like...
And the husband, surely the husband saying it's not true is enough to...
Enough doubt.
Quashed.
Quash it.
Quash it. Dave, can you Google quashed?
Quashed.
Do they sell that at the grocery?
So you just have to have it. What do you think quashed means? Have a go.
Yeah, it's like
it means
squash.
Crush. Nullifies a...
Oh, good one.
A charge.
Would you say put an end to or suppress?
Yes.
No, I would not have said that.
Right. Well, one of you was right. Matt in this instance.
That's interesting.
You'll have another go later. I'm sure we'll come across another word.
Hmm.
You know, they know the MO is chiseling through the back door. Surely yep. people are going, you know, there's people, armed people watching over the houses. Surely it's just like fixing up that back door.
Yeah, just stacking the tomatoes up.
Stacking the tomatoes or even just like being near the, I'd put my bed near the back door, right?
Oh, God.
So it could kill you really easily.
No, as soon as you're going to hear chiseling.
Man of a thousand noises. Chiseling number 673.
That was a donkey chiseling through a back door.
Wow, using its hoof or what?
Yeah.
That's what's happening in the bed of the back door, eh?
That's a donkey boning on a squeaky bed while he's chiseling through your back door.
Oh, a couple
of your friend's donkey.
So it's two donkeys having sex, right?
I think I might have had to add a third. I think I might have lost control there and added a third in.
No, I think there was...
Still the two.
Two donkeys.
Yeah.
It wasn't a donkey orgy.
No,
a dorgy.
A dorgy.
It was just two donkeys.
Yeah, two... Yeah.
Trying to have another donkey.
Yeah, really?
Chiseling through the back door. It's an old euphemism they used to use in 1920s New Orleans. It hadn't quite come into vogue. At the time of this story.
They were pioneering it. I'm really looking forward to the do-go automation of that. thank you, Joe. this attack...
And John, who actually does the animations.
Oh, sorry. His Twitter handle is Joe Didier.
Yeah.
At Joe Didier.
Sorry, Joe.
But it was John.
And John. Apologize to both of you.
We'll see ourselves out. So this attack... The one where she lied and fingered the fat guy and his, and his dad.
You've never shown any weirdness to overweight people before.
There's nothing weird. It just, honestly, the fat got him off. He couldn't fit through the door.
The fat got him off.
Are we talking to the donkey again?
When she was fingering him.
Oh, this is lost. We're losing.
So this attack was on March the 10th, 1919. This was followed just a few days later by one of the most memorable parts of the killer's story.
Yeah, so far it's been pretty forgettable. Yawn.
Just another axe murderer. Just slashing people's throats, you know.
But what's the pitch, you know? I mean, there's millions of axe murderers.
Right,
what makes you different?
I've got the pitch.
Okay.
A New Orleans newspaper called the Times-Picayune, which still exists. Picayune is a small coin.
Pokemon.
That's how much the paper would cost. I actually did a bit of dictionary stuff myself. The Times received a letter from someone claiming to be the Axeman. The author listed their return address as hell.
Why do murderers always write in? They love writing letters. I suppose they've got downtime between murders.
They love big noting themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's either that, but is that, it feels like that's got to be the minority. Most of them don't want to be found.
But a few.
But also, I reckon a lot of them end up being hoaxes, right? It's people just.
True.
I don't, what's the motivation of the non-murderer trying to get in on it? Because all you're doing is fucking up the investigation.
But like the BTK wrote letters, didn't he? Yeah, he gave himself BTK. And Jack the Ripper did.
Yeah, well, Jack the Ripper, there were multiple ones and they're not 100% sure if any
yeah,
of them.
And the Zodiac.
Zodiac,
so there
yeah.
were definitely false ones for the Ripper, but I don't think they're 100% if there's any real.
Anyway, sorry, yep. So he's written a letter. Return address, hell. Very melodramatic.
I've lifted my favourite parts of the letter here. This is it. Esteemed mortal of New Orleans.
All right, mate.
They have never caught me and they never will.
Okay.
They have never seen me, for I am invisible.
You're not.
I mean, they have seen him.
They've definitely seen
him. They've described him. He was wearing his fucking slouch hat.
Yeah, you're pretty light on your feet, that's but they've quite specific. Definitely seen you.
I'm not a human being, but a spirit and a demon from the hottest hell.
How are you holding a pen?
I am using a typewriter. I am what you Orleans and your foolish people call the Axeman. Undoubtedly, you Orleans think of me as a most horrible murderer, which I am.
All right, not denying it.
But I could be much worse if I wanted to.
Why?
If I wished, I could pay a visit to your city every night. At will, I could slay thousands of your best citizens. And the worst. For I am in a close relationship with the Angel of Death.
Oh, infamous.
Ooh.
Butcher. It's a Slayer song that comes up every few months on this podcast, I reckon. Angel of Death. But what I'm saying, I'm addressing you as the murderer, sorry. What?
Okay, let me channel him.
So you're going after a very exclusively, like a very niche market in all Italian grocers.
Yeah.
Why does your letter not mention that? You're from hell. What's the devil? What's this demon? What do you have against grocers?
I didn't anticipate this question.
Okay. Right.
This press conference is over.
Wow. The murderer held a press conference.
Yeah. This was very dumb. I have to go.
We've all seen you now.
I'm invisible.
There's police at the door.
I'm a killer.
You're under arrest.
I am the devil. Ooh. Look over there. Oh, thank God. Gotta go.
Take him away, toys.
Let's do what the kid says. Now, continuing the letter. This is my favorite bit. Oh, no, the next bit's my favorite bit. But anyway.
More.
Now, to be exact, at 12:15... earthly time.
Oh, get fucked.
On next Tuesday night, I'm going to pass over New Orleans. In my infinite mercy, I'm going to make a little proposition to you people. Here it is.
Oh my God, this sucks.
I am very fond of jazz music. I'm fucking serious. I am very fond of jazz music, and I swear by all the devils in the nether regions that every person shall be spared in whose home a jazz band is in full swing at the time I have just mentioned. If everyone has a jazz band going, well, then so much the better for you people. One thing is certain, and that is that some of you people who do not jazz it out on that specific night, if there be any, will get the axe.
Well, hang on. Okay. There's three of us here, right? All three of us live in different homes. Yep. Sorry to shatter the illusion.
Well.
I need a jazz band, right? So I need a jazz band to come to my house.
Or you could play a jazz record.
Right, okay.
Happy for a record.
Okay, there just needs to be jazz music playing at midnight.
Are you still being the Axeman?
Yeah.
Because I'm just confused. It's like, that would just leave a lot of houses empty because people would have to go to a different house
to play some jazz. Which would be smart if he just wanted to rob them. But he doesn't because he's...
Well, we'll get to what happens. So he signs off, hoping that thou wilt publish this, that it may go well with thee. I have been, am, and will be the worst spirit that ever existed, either in fact or realm of fancy.
Oh, he's a fucking weirdo.
Signed, the Axeman.
As you dub me.
Yeah, you guys
and me, myself.
Call me the Axeman. So I love it.
All we know about this guy so far is he's got a chisel.
A slouch hat.
A slouch hat.
Donkey. Hates Italian grocers. Loves jazz.
Loves jazz. Wears a dark suit. Light on his feet.
Heavy set fella.
I reckon we're getting pretty close.
You're going to crack it?
This is fucking ridiculous. At this point, it sort of feels like this is a hoax, that somebody just wants to make people do something that's a bit out there.
Yeah.
You know?
That feels like a real funny way to use the terror you've created.
I think it's not maybe funny, someone though. Else.
Yeah. Feels a bit hoaxy.
Nah, maybe it's him.
Well, people did not take the chance because New Orleans songwriter Joseph John Davila wrote a song called The Mysterious Axeman's Jazz, in brackets, Don't Scare Me, Papa.
I love jazz.
The sheet music was published with a drawing on its cover that just depicted a family playing music with a frightened look on their face.
So he capitalized on this terror sold his song.
Yeah. So Tuesday night came, March 19, and New Orleans was alive with jazz that night. People blasted jazz music at home and the jazz clubs were packed that night with a lot of people not wanting to take the chance of being murdered.
Did he say like how late it had to go? Because it's a work night.
12:15, I know, it's late. But the Axeman, a true man of his word, did not kill anyone that night.
He probably just wanted a night off.
Yeah.
He's just pulling a prank.
That's so strange. What would you ask people to do?
If I was a murderer.
Yeah. If.
Oh, I tell everyone not to fart for 24 hours.
How would you possibly monitor that?
Well, you don't have to monitor it. People are so terrified at this point, they will do anything you say.
So people are just walking around very uncomfortable.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea of that.
Okay. I'd get them to make the Saints win a game.
I'm not sure. So the other team would just throw the game. You'd the be Saints happy with must that win?
Win.
You'd be happy with that win?
Oh, look, anything to get at this point. Going, really.
Yeah,
at this point, you'll say yes.
Fair enough. Again, I'd say order a pizza, but leave it outside. And then I just go around having pizza.
That sounds fun for one pizza.
Yeah, I was going to have like a slice from each.
Ooh, great.
But maybe just on a street, you know.
Yeah.
A small street.
Tell them which
street. A cul-de-sac. Tell them which street you're going to be on. And then approach their front doors and eat a slice of pizza. Okay, I could just get a pizza. You're right. That was silly. I was just being whimsical. Dave said don't fart, and that got no criticism.
Well, because...
This is bullshit!
Well...
I'm gonna fart.
Right now.
Well, I'm going to leave a pizza out. So, well,
I'm going to fart on that pizza.
Wait, no. I'm going to bring a pizza in.
Ah! You guys suck.
So people jazzed it. They jazzed it all night.
Mm.
Choose their jazz.
But sadly, the attacks weren't truly over. In August, 5 months after the letter was published, Steve Boker, another grocer, was attacked in his bed. His skull was fractured by an axe and he couldn't recall much of what had happened to him, but he survived.
Skull fractures, not nice.
Mm. The second last attack occurred on September 19-year-old Sarah Lawman was attacked and had her skull fractured when an intruder broke in through an open window.
She doesn't sound like an Italian grocer.
No, and also didn't chisel the back door. She too couldn't remember much of the attack, but she survived, and a bloody axe was discovered on the front lawn of her building.
He's just cracking skulls now.
Yeah.
Get back to the slashing.
Yeah, there's a lot of skulls. I reckon he's turning the axe around and using it like...
Yeah.
Like just a piece blunt, of wood, really.
Oh, yuck.
Just a big, heavy, it's not really heavy hammer.
He's not he cutting. Does, yeah, he's
He doesn't
he's
even want to use the axe. He just sort of feels like he has to now because he's the axe man.
And do we believe it's the same guy still?
I don't.
Well...
His MO is changing.
Mole people.
Is that right?
Yeah, MO.
His MO right there.
Mole.
He did use... Modus operandi.
Emma, no, I think it actually stands for Moleoli.
Yes, correct.
His Moleoli has changed. I think you'll find. The final attack occurred on October 27th, 1919. The victims of this attack were couple Mike and Esther Peppertone.
Great name.
Esther was awoken by her husband screaming and ran into his bedroom. Separate bedrooms. Hot. Trouble in paradise.
One of them snores.
Yeah.
Or both.
Oh, it's real trouble in paradise.
Oh, yeah.
Mike's head had been hit 18 times.
How do you know that? Did Mike count?
The amount of contusions.
Well, he hung on for a couple of hours.
There's no overlapping, is there?
I can't believe it. He hung on for a couple of hours, but unsurprisingly, he did not make it. Blood splatter covered the majority of the room, including, according again to the Times-Picayune newspaper, a painting of the Virgin Mary covered in blood.
Terrifying.
Very biblical. The Times also claimed it was hard to tell exactly what he'd been hit with because, quote, it was battered into an almost unrecognisable mass. Talking about his head.
Oh, that's no yuck. Good. Still feel like pizza, Jess?
Yeah. Always. You kidding me? So how dare you?
That was a dumb question.
How dare you?
I meant no disrespect.
I'm furious. We're fighting now.
Esther saw two figures in her husband's bedroom who both quickly fled.
Two?
Did the axe man have an accomplice?
Oh, was it Frank and the old man?
Okay, so that's the final murder. All in all, 12 people were attacked, 6 of whom died.
Axe man and axe boy.
So no... It's not a fantastic hit rate for a serial killer. And I'm very sorry to say that this is a mystery.
Oh,
no.
Dave.
Dave.
Very sorry.
Oh, that is fucked.
So we don't know.
Could still be out there, is what you're saying.
He could still be out. If he's a ghost.
Dave.
If he's a tepid, he could still be out there.
You know I'm terrified of tepids.
We don't know 100% who or what the Axeman was and why he killed, but there are, of course, theories. Before we get into them, do you have any yourselves?
Mole people. I don't know how many times I have to say this.
Mo-mo-moly, what was it?
Moleoli. Come on, mate.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be something to do with the Italian grocers, right?
Yeah.
That's too big of a coincidence.
But how are there so many of them?
Yes.
Large population.
And there was a 7-year gap. So how many in the first session and the second? What was someone was doing something in that middle section?
Did nobody audit the local grocers and see who was suddenly doing quite well for 7 years and then maybe had a bit of a recession and then started axing people again?
I reckon that's a question. Or they were over the season, won some war or something.
Or in jail, maybe.
In jail, right. I reckon you got theories here.
I've got a few theories. The first one is quite outlandish. It's spies. One theory is that some or all of the murderers had to do with spies.
Yes.
Remember Harriet Lowe and her husband, Louis Bessemer? She's the one that fingered many people before she died 7 weeks later. First saying it was one of their workers, then it was her lover, then it was because he was a German spy. Well, authorities later found letters written in Yiddish and Russian written by her lover, Louis. And it was speculated that he was, in fact, actually a spy.
Oh.
She was not shitting them. And perhaps this attack had nothing to do with the Axeman. It was a spy man. Lewis was even arrested for this, but was later acquitted. So he was arrested for his lover's murder, but was acquitted. Perhaps this just discredits one of those murders, and that this wasn't to do with the Axeman, that this was a single, he was cashing in on that. But if he actually did that, that means he had to fracture his own skull with an axe. Which is unlikely, but for a spy, not impossible if you're trying to cover your tracks. You got to bash your head. I mean, some people are desperate enough to do that.
Bloody hell. I reckon that's a real noble act.
And my act.
My axe.
So maybe that murder wasn't to do with it. Maybe
that just reminded me. I think it's obvious. It's obviously giblets. Giblets did it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Remind me who Giblets is.
He's the big bearded man from the Lord of the Fries.
Gimli.
Oh, right. Lord of the Fries.
Gimli.
Gimli.
Gimli. That doesn't ring a bell.
Giblets.
And my axe.
That's very good for a character who I don't think you've seen.
No, I'm sure I've seen.
Are you impersonating other impersonations?
Yeah,
because that's what I'm doing at this point.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen the film.
With your Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Gimlet.
Gimlet Media.
Gimli.
I liked Giblets.
Yeah.
I love that Jess was straight away knew what you meant.
Oh, yeah.
Giblets.
Well, we just said, and my axe, right? Oh, no. Anyway, who's the next one? And underneath this, when you edit it together, can you get that sort of do kind of music that they do under like olden days dating show things? And behind door number 3.
Oh.
Could you do that, Dave?
I could, but Jess is also singing another song, so it'll sound pretty bad right now.
No need, I'm doing it. Carry on.
Spanish free.
Door number 2. The craziest theory of all. The craziest theory is that the Axeman is a supernatural being.
Well, that's not a theory. He said it himself.
I don't think that's crazy either. I think that seems the most likely.
Well, everyone remembered every time someone described the killer, they said he was a large man who was also very light on his feet. How else would such a large man be able to fit through a tiny entrance chiseled through a back door? So he's taken off a little panel. It's not that big. How else would such a large person
pet
get
monkey
through?
Didn't you say he just puts his arm through and unlocks the door? You said that before. He couldn't reach through because the tomato cans were there.
That is very true.
So,
well, case closed. I said it was the craziest theory.
I'm a demon. How do I get in? Oh, I'm coming from another dimension. Oh, no, a door. Chisel.
No.
I'll chisel a little panel and then make myself shrink.
No, cans of tomatoes. Just fucking push them over.
No, then they make a noise. Honestly, Dave.
I mean, these people aren't waking up. That's another theory. He's chiseling. No one has ever woken up and caught him in the act.
Right.
Yeah. And also,
he's chiseling. The first time anyone ever awakes is when he's looming over them with an axe. They open their eyes and go, what the fuck? He smashes
it. It's almost like he has to go, hey.
Yeah.
Do you remember how your mum used to wake you up? Like, hey.
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 Jess.
My grandma always told me, turn the light on. Don't touch me because I'll probably have a heart attack.
Turning the light on would startle me. Honestly, leave me alone if I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just a good theory. I think probably a handy thing for you guys to know. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So that's hey. That's. I'm really glad you debunked that theory. I totally forgot that he had to just.
He had arms.
Yeah, like surely he'd just like walk through the wall.
If he's a demon. A
supernatural being. Assume they can all do that.
Surely.
But if you,
I mean, it's all bullshit.
Otherwise, how supernatural are you?
Yeah.
Just, I'd say you're pretty natural.
Yeah, average natural, to be honest.
Your theories are making him feel like a natural woman.
You make me feel like a natural
What is she going
woman.
On? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Just natural. Don't shave my armpits.
You make me feel like a natural.
You make me feel like I don't shave my armpits.
I absolutely do, but you make me feel like I don't.
You make me feel like there's hair where there isn't hair. That's very strange. All right, we've got a couple more theories. One prevailing theory behind the X-Man murders, and the one that probably speaks to me the most, is that they stemmed from a feud between warring mafia factions. Most of the victims were, of course, Italian grocers. New Orleans had more Italian immigrants than any other city in the South, as I said, many of whom were from Sicily. Were these attacks just early mafiosos taking out rivals?
Right.
Possibly. 9 years before the killing of the final victim, Mike Pepitone, he and his father, Peter Pepitone, were central...
Peter Pepitone.
I love it.
Peter Pepitone.
That exact thought when I wrote his name out. So Mike and Peter Pepitone were central figures in the killing of Dee Christina. Dee Christina had once leased the building from Peter Pepitone for his own grocery, but when the lease expired, he took over the business next door and put up his own grocery place.
Nuh-uh.
A rival grocer. Christina was murdered by the senior Pepitone.
Papa Pepitone.
Papa Pepitone.
That's not good. Hasn't the supermarket game changed a lot over the years?
Oh, wow. It's yeah. crazy.
Way less murder these
There's
days,
really only it? A couple of competitors, to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the big theory...
Foodworks, obviously, being the biggest.
Yes.
And IGA.
It's true.
Good for the internationals. They'll love both those references.
Yeah, they'll probably think, yeah, why are they listing supermarkets? Anyway, so the theory here is that Senior Pepitone and his son Mike had taken out this guy, Dee Christina,
Papa
and that
Pepitone.
Mike's
Papa
murder
Pepitone. Papa Peter Pepitone.
Was perhaps a retaliation for Papa Peter Pepitone's.
I heard he was famous murder. For his perfect pancakes. Papa Peter Pepitone's perfect pancakes. Is that true?
Yeah.
It's true.
Papa Pepitone was known for his perfect pancakes.
Because his secret ingredient was paprika. Papa
Pepitone's perfect paprika pancakes.
That's good fun.
The only person that was that has since been really named as a suspect, and this is the final part of the story, is Joseph Mumphrey. So this too links to the final killing of Mike Pepitone, son of Papa Peter Pepitone. Mike Pepitone.
Who was famous for?
Pancakes.
Pancakes?
Pancakes. Panna cotta cakes.
Oh, yum.
They sound good, don't they? Mike Pepitone was found by his wife, Esther. After Mike died, this is a bit weird, Esther remarried a guy called Angelo Albano.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Get into the weird bit. Weirdly, 2 years to the day after Mike's Axeman murder, her first husband, her second husband, Albano, disappeared.
Well, she is not having much luck.
Before their marriage, Angelo Albano had ended business dealings with a man called Joseph Mumphrey. After her second husband, Angelo's disappearance, this Joseph Mumphrey character randomly appeared at her home and demanded $500, a very large sum of money. If she didn't pay, he threatened to kill her the same way he'd killed her husband.
Ooh, sounds like he had a real axe to grind.
High five, that is good. But guess what, man?
You spoke over our high five, by the way. Can we go again?
I'll let it in post.
Can we go again?
Matt, just make the sound of a high five with your mouth. You can do it. Incredible.
He is good.
So Joseph Mumphrey.
Sorry, I was clearing my throat for that first bit. Why? There we go. So let me clear my throat again. Here we go. One last try. That was Dave's. He's looking at me in disbelief, but that was not hand-on-hand action.
How is that coming through my headphones? It's amazing.
Yeah.
So Joseph Mumphrey.
Oh, it's confusing.
He says, I'm going to kill you if you don't, like I killed your husband, you're going to give me $500. But guess what? Esther, she didn't take no shit.
Yeah.
She shot and killed Mumfrey.
Fucking hell.
Shooting him 8 times.
Okay, Esther. I mean, it's hard to claim self-defense when you shoot 8 times.
And
remember
someone,
$8 was a lot back then as well? And they're asking for $500.
I just wanted to say, Matt, shooting someone 8 times would sound a little something like.
Oh, he's warming up.
Here we go. That was 5, 6 maybe.
Had to take a little moment to reload.
Just in case he wasn't dead.
So, you know, like people say they're unlucky in love if they just can't find a husband, but she just keeps finding him and they die.
It's crazy.
So she's lucky in a way.
But then very unlucky in another way.
So just to sum up, when Esther was arrested for the shooting of Mumfrey, the guy that had threatened
Esther
her.
Esther arrested.
She claimed that Mumfrey had in fact been the axeman that had killed her first husband.
Oh.
And that she'd seen him running from her house the night that her husband Mike Pepitone was
murdered. Saying this years later. Two years later.
Yeah, 2 years later to the day.
But he's the guy she married?
No.
I've lost track.
There was too many interruptions.
She married Angelo.
Right.
Okay, so she's married to Mike Pepitone. He's killed by the axe murderer. She marries a new husband. He disappears. And then this guy called Mumfrey comes and says, I killed your husband. Give me money or I'll kill you too.
Right.
She shoots him. Oh. And in her defense is, he threatened me and also he was the axe man.
Oh, and there were no more axe murders after this guy died.
How convenient.
So she got off from the killing. She was acquitted.
She got off.
Saying it was self-defense.
Great.
It was later discovered that Mumfrey had been blackmailing lots of Italian men in New Orleans. And I remember a lot of the ex-men victims were Italian grocers. Earlier in the century, he'd been sent to 20 years hard labor for setting off a bomb outside a grocery that refused to bribe him. He'd also been in and out of prison, sort of correlating a little bit with the time in between the first and the second attacks. And as you said, after he died, there were no more axe murders. So he may be the killer, but the bottom line is we'll probably never know.
That one feels like the one, right? I mean, in the way you've just told it.
I mean, there wasn't any other theories that maybe stood out to you that could have been.
Well, obviously, the killer's Molioli points towards some more underground assailants.
I mean, how do you think they're getting? They just need a tiny little bit of space. Tiny little bit of space.
And are you sure they're chiseling, or not burrowing through the door?
David, are you sure?
Well, they're doing a little bit of each. They're using the chisel, but in their mouths.
Right.
Adorable.
Moles also have poor eyesight. That's why it's happening at night.
Yep.
That's right. And they also hate cans of tomato.
Finally. Perkins is right.
Finally. It's all falling into place.
I solved it. You're welcome, police. Well,
it's good to solve the murder. But I didn't thank the people that suggested this topic. 2 people did. Thank you very much. Because I'd never heard of it and I thought it was quite a cool topic. Thank you to Ryan Baker from Auckland.
Did you say this is cool? Murdering is cool, Dave?
Yeah, shakalaka. And Scarlett Kelly from Perth also suggested this. Shakalak. Shakalak to you.
Shakalak.
So what do you guys reckon?
Oh my God, David, I've already told you. I've told you how I solved it, so.
Oh, yeah, Matt, can you also solve it?
What was the question?
Solve them. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon it was definitely the last thing you said.
Nailed it.
Jess, mole people.
Yep.
So let me finish.
I agree it was mole people.
Or a single mole person, more likely. They work alone.
And they always wear slouch hats.
So cute.
So cute. But that is the end of the report.
That was great, Dave. I had a lot of fun. Mostly in the tangents, to be honest. The axe murdering part wasn't that nice.
It was a little bit. I mean, like I said, I did have nightmares last night, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, I can't.
But hopefully.
I can't wait to also have nightmares tonight. Thank you so much.
I mean, let's be honest, you'll probably just have a nightmare about not waking up in time and then relive the dream over and over
and then
again.
And then still be jealous that he had a better dream than I did. Fuck, that's a good dream. Morse code TV show.
I wouldn't tell people about that. I'd just write it down and make $1 million.
Okay, can you edit it all out so I can make $1 million?
Will do. All right, that is the end of the episode. And thanks to everyone for downloading in the first place. If you haven't listened to the show before, great to have you on board. We've got lots and lots of episodes. A lot of serial killers and other interesting stuff that you can check out in our back catalogue. We also have a thing called Patreon, which is a way that people that listen every week can support the show and keep us going.
By giving us cold, hard cash.
That's pretty much it. Patreon.com/DoGoOnPods for all your Patreon needs. And you get shout-outs, you get access to other stuff, things early before everyone else. And also...
we get cold, hard cash.
Also, you get bonus episodes, 2 per month, 2 exclusive episodes just for the people that support us through that platform.
So, and what do they have to give us in order to get all that?
Love, attention, and cold, hard cash.
Yeah. I have an idea for this week, if you'll go with me. I always have ideas and you always hate them. We either...
Because they're always quite complicated.
No, they're not. Okay, Shut up. How dare you?
No, tell me.
We either give them a weapon or a murderer name. So it's either like an axe or the axe man or whatever.
Yeah.
Weapon? I think murderer.
Murderer name?
Yeah. No, sorry, the weapon.
Weapon.
Which becomes their name.
Yeah. Okay,
great.
Sure. Great.
Which I think is cool. And by the way, what we're talking about is we like to thank by name some of those beautiful people that give us the cold hard cash through patreon.com. And we're going to thank them now and give them a murder weapon of choice.
You're welcome.
By the way, please do not kill with this weapon and then say we asked you to do it, because we did not ask you to do that.
Oh, good one. Covering our butts.
Yes.
Good butt cover.
One no one kill
anyone.
Butt.
No one kill anyone. Of course, it's quite interesting to talk about it on a podcast, but in real life.
Murder. Not a great idea.
Crime doesn't pay.
Terrible idea.
No.
Mumfrey got shot in the end, so let's remember that.
Let's remember that.
Also, this episode is dedicated to the world's Italian grocers, because I imagine the industry has been decimated by the Walmarts of the world.
Yes.
You're not going to start an Italian grocer, are you? Because, I mean, so many of them get murdered.
And you're asking for trouble.
I'm not an idiot.
I'm going to reinforce the back door if I do.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I think maybe, Jess, you should, because you have this idea.
Okay. So I would like to thank... from Shetland in Scotland, as you can tell.
Another one that's okay to do, apparently.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
If
I've been there, so I can do it.
Right.
That's how it works.
Okay, good. I've been to Italy. Yes.
Yes.
I've been to China. All right, here we go.
I feel like, I think there's something, maybe it's something about the if the language is the native language is in your language.
Great.
Oh, okay. So we're doing
like Scottish is an English-speaking country.
Oh, so maybe? You can't do Chinese people speaking English.
Look, I don't want to get all PC gone mad over here.
But let's not
a rule
be
I
dicks.
Heard someone say. Yeah.
So from Scotland, I would like to thank Ben Fulton, futon couch.
the futon couch murderer.
He suffocates him in there.
The futon folder.
Oh, it folds a bit half.
Oh, I love it. Because also, like the Axeman, he only uses weapons that are available in the hand.
Yeah, smart.
He doesn't he doesn't BYO futon.
Or it's weirder because he does BYO futon. And he says, can you come outside? I lost the accent.
He comes, folds and leaves.
Yeah. And then I guess the policeman would arrive there in Shetland and say, it's murder.
It's another murder.
Murder.
So thank
you. Diagnosis. Murder.
Get target.
Get target.
Target.
Murder.
So sorry, Ben.
I can't quite do it there. Murder. And my surname's Stuart.
So it's fine for you. God, you've covered all bases.
Yeah,
any Chinese in you?
I'm a real melting pot.
I'd like to. Yeah.
And also, thank you, Ben. We appreciate
thank you, Ben.
From Shetland.
Sorry about our terrible
I don't know
accents.
If Dave mentioned it before, but you guys are the ones. You help make this show possible.
Actually,
giving
very true.
Us cold.
I mean,
support.
You might. I mean,
bills.
We, you know, it's you're making it sound dirty, Jess.
Yeah, it is.
But this is just. It's just how.
Can I thank someone else?
Yes.
Who else?
I'd like to thank from Nashville, Danielle Summers.
Oh, Nashville!
Danielle's great. We've
I mean, Nashville's not that far
a
from
bottle.
New Orleans. Not that far.
Glass bottle.
Oh, a bourbon. Is that what you're thinking?
No, nah, Summersby cider glass bottle.
Wow, okay.
Well, okay, I reckon bourbon would have been
Yeah, Tennessee.
Okay, bourbon. Yay.
Well, you did say glass
now
bottle.
Now I'm finally good enough for you fucks.
I liked how you left it open to everyone's imagination with glass bottle.
So the glass bottle killer.
Oh.
No, I reckon.
That is, oh, imagine. Oh,
I don't,
that
I don't reckon.
It would take a couple of strikes.
Yeah,
would.
I reckon maybe a better name. Let me put this forward. Just keep it simple. The bottler.
Oh,
that's good.
Yes. The bottler.
The bottler struck again.
Okay, she's from Nashville.
The bottler struck again in Nashville.
Could I thank a couple if
please.
You don't mind?
I thank you, Danielle or Danielle.
From Shrewsbury in Massachusetts.
Oh.
Charlie Hefferman. Charlie Hefferman from Shrewsbury, Massachusetts.
So it's not Heffernan.
Hefferman. With an M.
It's an N.
It's N-A-N.
Hefferman. Oh, right. The way I've got it written down here is the R and the N of forming an M.
Oh, Hefferman. Okay.
Heffernan.
It's the old eyes.
Charlie Heffernan. He uses a cow's carcass.
Oh, wow.
That seems complicated.
Like I mean, they used to put a
grandma cow's carcass.
Heifer.
Yes.
I get it. Yep. Heffernan.
Yeah, right.
I mean, obviously, like, famous mafia traders putting a horse's head in the bed,
yeah.
But he puts a cow's head in the bed and then proceeds to strike you over the head with the cow.
With the rest of the cow, yeah. But it is an old grandma cow, so it's a little shriveled down.
Putting her out of her misery.
Easier to carry around with him, as he does.
Thank you so much, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Massachusetts is so good. I'm not saying that right, am I? Massachusetts.
It is a tough one.
Massachusetts.
That's right. That's what I said. Austin, Massachusetts. Yeah, you know where that's from? Yeah, that's right. Austin, Massachusetts. That's what I said.
No, what's that from?
It's from a Road Trip.
I have seen.
He gives the wrong city, so he
says. Is this Tom Green?
Tom Green saying.
Oh, it's a good Tom Green.
Yeah, I'm getting it now.
Instead of. He got confused between Austin and Boston.
Oh,
got it.
And I
classic
loved
geography joke. That
yeah, right up my alley.
Bit of wordplay and geography. Wow, together at last.
From Riverview, Florida.
That sounds beautiful.
It. Doesn't that sound great? Christian Goodyear.
Oh, we sometimes chat to Christian.
Yes,
we do the online videos once a month, and Christian is often in the chats.
Yes, so is Danielle. I'm pretty sure. But I would love
good to have you on board, guys.
I would assume. And in thanking Christian, I would assume he'd be the tire killer.
Right? I was going to say blimp.
Oh, blimp. Blimp kills better.
What, does he take people up in the blimp? Or does he dive bomb?
He dive bombs in the blimp.
That is
awesome.
And
like, it's coming slowly at you. But for some reason, you're just paralyzed with fear.
It's like the Hindenburg killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the blimp. So what are you calling him then? The blimp killer?
Blimp boy.
The bliller.
Bliller.
You know I love a portmanteau.
Ghostface bliller.
Love
Ghost
it.
Ghostface Bliller. That's great.
Thank you, Christian.
Thanks, Christian.
Thanks for nothing, Christian. Thanks for killing people with blimps.
Well, I mean, they didn't do that.
Oh, that's it's a hypothetical.
That's a
thing.
Hypothetical fictional thing we're putting onto
them. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, Christian.
We're entirely responsible for that scenario.
We're back to loving you again. I mean, I was the only
after
one who
all
got confused.
Years.
All right, I'd like to thank now from Columbia, South Carolina, which is just south of one of our favorite states.
North Carolina.
Correct.
Did you know a little fact about...
I missed that.
I forgot why it's my favorite state. Remind me.
Well, the ex-best basketballer of all time, Michael Jordan.
Oh, dethroned. LeBron, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, LeBron this week has won two playoffs with buzzer beaters.
Did you see his one today?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it is ridiculous. Anyway, the ex-best...
Oh, yeah, fucking hell. Long way around there. Michael Jordan, he played college ball and he continued to wear his college shorts from his university team throughout his professional career at Chicago.
And his university was, that's the key part here, you have forgot to mention.
Well, yeah, I'll let you say the...
The university was, of course, in North Carolina.
Right.
Just... North of Preston Jenkinson.
Sorry, Preston. We really took a while.
We left you hanging there.
So, Preston, what's Preston's weapon of choice?
Preston Jenkinson.
Preston.
An iron.
Yes. That's...
Oh, you think he's...
Because they, pressing clothes?
Yep. It's an iron.
Preston. Okay, I'm going to go with
just
that.
Just irons your face.
I was just going to say banana boy.
That's stupid, Dave. Dave, take the game seriously, please.
Banana boy, he just leaves a banana out and people slip on him and then it looks like they just fell.
Oh. Do you think he'd get a name for that?
And they fell into an iron.
Yeah.
Where they were Preston.
I'm never trusting you with fruit.
Preston Jenkinson. Thank you so much for your support. And finally, this week, I'd like to thank from Ventura, California, Janae.
Did you say that word the same two times?
Ventura?
No, Ventura or Ventura.
Oh.
California. Edit as appropriate, Janae. Janae Colton.
And she uses a cult.
Janae Colton.
A cult?
Like a gun or
like a baby horse.
Or an entire cult.
A cult.
Or the occult.
The occult.
Or a yuckult.
Yeah, probiotics. Yeah,
probiotics. Here, have these billions of probiotics. But I'm allergic.
Too much for my system.
Thank you, Janae Colton. I hope you have your cult in the US. I don't know.
I'm really sorry, guys, for just steamrolling that game. I was so fucking good at it.
You were on it.
I was on fire today.
And then when some of us tried with Banana Boy, you just really crushed our
spirit.
That
was awful.
That was very bad indeed.
Oh, now I'm feeling depressed.
Normally there's no wrong answer.
Depressed.
Yeah.
Dave, right. You wrap up and then put yourself in timeout, mate. That's not on.
I think I just saved it.
I was going to say timeout, but you have to wrap up. So finish up and then you got to sit in that corner for another 10 minutes.
All right, I'm going
to
smash a sweet buzzer beater here.
Save it.
All right, well, guys, we do have to go. But for another week, thank you very much for listening to our voices. You can get in contact anytime with us. All the links to how to suggest a topic and how to get in contact are in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. And until next week, I will say a goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
You should be a singer.
I'm very tired.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.